Good morning, Charles Biggins, Leslie Vail. I'm here today speaking on behalf of the Kingborough Land Users Body. I'd like to move a motion that Council intervenes as the planning authority and preferences all previously zoned environmental living properties that come before Council acting as the planning authority as rural living unless the landowner holder has specifically requested landscape conservation zone.
Okay, could I just get you to pause while we just catch up on the wording to make sure we have that wording correct? So far we've got that Council intervenes as the planning authority and preferences
all previously zoned environmental living properties.
Hang on, sorry. We need living after environmental. That come before Council acting as the planning authority.
As rural living.
Yep.
Unless the landholder has specifically requested landscape conservation zone.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for the motion, please? Yep, seconded by Nick Booth. If you'd like to speak to the motion.
Thank you. Strategic land use changes require prior community consultation. The original nomination of some 1,950 properties in 2019 equated to 28% of Kingborough's land mass. This was a strategic land use change by anyone's measure, and yet Council failed to engage with the public regarding its intentions prior to that 2019 local provision schedule nomination. In the following 6 years, a groundswell of community dissatisfaction with Council's initial no communication prior to the nomination of LCZ, no direct communication of LCZ prior to public exhibition, the misrepresentation of LCZ community representations in the 35F and 35G reports, and the lack of meaningful responses to landholders at the Tasmanian Planning Commission hearings. At this point in time, your average landholder making a representation at the Planning Commission hearing is more informed about the Tasmanian planning scheme than your average councillor, whose part-time job it is. We don't need a team of highly paid consultants to transfer 1,600 LCZ properties from environmental living to rural living. What we'd need is a council acting as the planning authority to stand up and do their job. Do what the State Planning Commission guidelines allow you to do, and do what the Tasmanian Planning Commission directives are asking you to consider doing. How much time, money and energy has been wasted on the LCZ folly since the introduction of the interim planning scheme in 2015. The wages bill alone for a single planner over 10 years would exceed $1 million. But this pales into insignificance when compared to the reputational damage being done to this municipality. Kingborough is sending a loud and clear message that it is closed for business outside of the Greater Hobart City urban boundaries, that families wanting to contribute to the social, economic and environmental stewardship of the rural and semi-rural communities are not welcome here. The people don't want it, the State Planning Office never asked for it, and the Tasmanian Planning Commission is directing you to look at alternatives. Can we please stop pretending that there is another viable living zone alternative for existing environmental living properties to be transferred to? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have anybody else who would like to speak for or against the motion? If so, please come forward.
Peter Creef, Alan's Rivulet. I support the motion. I'd just like to also include properties previously zoned as rural resource.
Okay.
And any property where the designation is for living on it.
So if you wanted to amend the motion, we have to adhere to meeting procedures, so you'd have to come up with the specific words and then ask the mover and the seconder of the motion if those words are acceptable to them. Otherwise, we'll have to debate an amendment. So if you could let us know. Sorry, it gets... If you could just try and look at the motion that's already written and foreshadow the exact words you'd like to change, and then Mr. Biggins and Mr. Booth, as the mover and seconder of the motion, will let you know whether it's acceptable to them. Perhaps if you could you just repeat what you said earlier, and then we might be able to help you with the wording to make sure it's accurate.
To include properties previously zoned rural resource and or any property where the predominant use is for living.
Okay, so, all right. So we're just highlighting. Where was that? Okay, so we're just highlighted on the screen there the words that you've just added. So the motion, I'll just read it to be clear, and then I'll ask the mover and seconder. So the motion the amendment that is being proposed would mean that the motion now reads: the council intervenes as the planning authority and preferences all previously zoned environmental living properties, rural resource, and or any property where the predominant use is for living that comes before council acting as the planning authority as rural living, unless the landholder has specifically requested landscape conservation zone. Is that the wording? Yep. Is that acceptable to the mover and the seconder of the motion?
Yep. Much that I appreciate the...
Come to the microphone, please, as the mover.
Much that I appreciate the intent of Peter's amendment, I think it makes it less likely to... I think it kind of confuses the... it's not acceptable.
Okay. All right, so the situation, sorry to I need to make sure that we adhere to the correct meeting procedures now. So it's not acceptable to the mover, so those words can't be inserted. We can now debate an amendment. So the substantive motion stays as it is. But if you would like to now come forward and move a separate amendment, you can do that, and then we can vote, and then you will all get to vote on the amendment. So it's the same, or you could do a separate motion. It might be cleaner to do a separate motion. So what we can do perhaps, and I'll just give some direction to Mrs. Morton, perhaps if we copy and paste that for now, with that in it, that if the mover is happy, once we finish with this motion, we can deal with this as a second motion. Yeah, I can see some nodding. All right, okay. So I'll park that one for now. So we're back on the original motion that's moved by Mr. Biggins and Mr. Booth. So just to be clear, I'll read that. That council intervenes as the planning authority and preferences all previously zoned environmental living properties that come before council acting as the planning authority as rural living, unless the landholder has specifically requested landscape conservation zone. So it's moved by Mr. Biggins and seconded by Mr. Booth. So all those in favour of that motion, please raise your hands. Thank you. Any against? The motion is carried. Now, We're back. We do have the other motion if you would like to come up and speak to the new motion. And could you just repeat your name? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Peter Creef.
Creef. How do you spell that?
C-R-E-E-F, as in Fred.
Thank you.
Okay, so...
So that's the...
that the council intervene as the planning authority and preferences all previously zoned rural resource rural resource properties and or any property where the predominant use is for living that come before council acting as the planning authority as rural living unless the landholder has specifically requested a landscape conservation zone.
Thank you. So that is the motion. Do we have a seconder for the motion, please? Yep. Sorry, Tracy Harvey. Thank you. If you'd like to speak to the motion now.
Go. Yeah. I could read Charlie's notes, but, yeah, we came here for a reason to live in a rural zone where we could partake in rural activities. And whilst we want to continue living there, we bought a property with a specific zone. Now, that has changed totally under the landscape conservation zone. And really, it takes away our ability to act as we would like freely. The process that's been done hasn't really shown any... social justice to us and the other users, and we'd just like things go back to the way they were, really. Now, we're quite prepared to follow, you know, there's plenty of council regulation, plenty of process to follow if we want to do things. So why there has to be a change is beyond us, particularly as there's been no explanation coming out of council as to why it's happened, or why the change, or what the change really means. So we just want to be living in our area that we bought, expecting to be able to live as we want to live, and we want to continue our lifestyle the way it is.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? If you'd like to come forward, please.
Christina Betz-Visser, I'm from Kayuta. Just a correction, please, that we're talking... I can't read it properly from here, but the bottom end of it says, unless people have specifically requested a landscape conservation zoning, that should read, unless they have specifically requested the rural resource or whatever else other there... because it's actually not addressing the landscape conservation zoning.
Okay, so you're proposing an amendment.
Yes, please.
To ask the mover and the seconder. So, Mr. Creef and Ms. Harvey, whether that is acceptable to you? So just to be clear, my understanding is the amendment that you're seeking is to say in the last... part of it is to say has specifically requested landscape conservation zone or rural living zone.
Unless they have specifically requested... So instead of unless they have specifically requested the rural... rural zone. Because I can't read it from here.
Am I able to assist?
Yes, please.
Sure.
So, Kim Phillips. So, what we're trying to address here is the idea that people that have had their properties proposed for zoning as rural resource are in a similar boat as those that have been proposed for landscape conservation zone. Yes. So, it needs to cover landscape conservation and rural zone.
So you'd probably then need to put LCZ back into that.
Unless the landholder has proposed a rule, not the rule results. So some people have been proposed as landscape conservation and some people as rule rule.
Okay, so rule resource does
you have to do the rule?
No.
So we're landscape conservation zone areas and we don't want to be that. We're rule resource.
So rural resource doesn't exist in the new one, so you want rural development.
We want
okay.
We don't want landscape.
No, no, we don't.
Apologies, understand.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
So the issue is that there are a few different zones that are involved.
Yep.
And the crux of it is that everyone is saying that they want rural living zones. Yep. So you have an example where you have people that were previously rural resource who are now being proposed for landscape conservation. You've got people who are rural resource but proposed for rural zone. Yep.
So we just need to get the wording clear. So what wording would you like?
Because it said landscape conservation at the bottom.
My version say any property.
Any conservation zone?
Any property that's going to potentially be zoned landscape conservation zone rather than specific types, just any property.
Perhaps.
It's not just landscape zone, it's the rural.
Mr. Creef, could you please come forward because you're the original mover of the motion, so we need to make sure that... We need to just make sure, as the original mover and then your seconder, that you're happy with the changes because it's being changed.
So if we say any rural property...
Any rural property.
..that is currently used for living and has not been proposed for a living zone. Does that fit?
I think that it is now being adjusted to my satisfaction in that the bottom line is unless the landholder has specifically requested the rural zone, whereas before it said unless the landowner had specifically
requested LCZ, yeah.
That was the bit that I was concerned about.
Okay, so that's the amendment that
needs to say both.
The other motion didn't cover our property. No, but this one does.
No, it doesn't. Because rural resource, and we've been proposed to be landscape conservation zone.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay then. I didn't know.
So that's what we were trying to get
add in
there
as well. Yeah. Okay. I agree with you.
Specifically requested the rural zone or landscape conservation zone.
Drafting motions is very difficult.
Yes,
So if we could change the heading to as opposed to requested rule, has specifically requested the proposed zone.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So you're happy with that as the mover. Ms. Harvey, are you happy with that as the seconder? So just to be clear, if you can't read it, it now says the council intervenes as the planning authority and preferences all previously zoned rural resource properties and or any property where the predominant use is for living that comes before council, acting as the planning authority, as rural living unless the landholder has specifically requested the proposed zone. Yes. Thank you. That now becomes the substantive motion. So, Mr. Creef, did you want to speak to that any further?
No, I think
you're
what
welcome
I said was
to if you'd like to. Would anybody else like to speak to that motion? No? Okay, so I'm going to put the motion now. It's moved by Mr. Creef and seconded by Ms. Harvey. All those in favour? Against? The motion is carried unanimously. Are there any further motions? Thank you, Mr. Biggins. I like the enthusiasm.
I hadn't finished. So I have two more motions from the Kingborough Land Users Body, and the next one is that council abandon any plans to introduce the trees on private land bylaw and returns the certificate to create this new bylaw back to the state.
Okay, do we have a seconder for that motion, please? Yeah, could you state your name, please? Sorry, Jason Smith. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Okay, if you'd like to speak to the motion.
Thank you. Currently, priority vegetation, including trees on private land, are covered under the interim planning scheme.
Sorry to interrupt. I've just been asked by the CEO to check. Mr. Smith, where do you reside? Yeah, unfortunately, you need to vote at an AGM. You need to be you need to be on the roll for Kingborough. So, apologies. Sorry, your name. Thank you, Tamika. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you. Thank you for your diligence. Currently, priority vegetation, including trees on private land, are covered under the interim planning schemes, which has provisions for the protection of vegetation identified under the Biodiversity Code overlay, with the exemptions for various conflicts with the state, with other state legislation, such as the Boundary Fences Act and the Fire Service Act. In 2011, the Health and Environment Services bylaw 3 was amended to include provisions to regulate the removal of trees through a permit system. At the time, Kingborough was the only council in Tasmania to do so. This bylaw extended to the scope of trees being protected to include trees not classified as priority vegetation. In 2022, after 11 years of regulating the removal of trees on private land, council obtained confidential legal advice and doesn't renew the environmental bylaw containing the tree protection provisions. No explanation or compensation is offered to the thousands of people who had to negotiate the bylaw whilst managing their responsibilities as tree owners. Also, in 2022, council applied for and obtained a certificate from the state to develop a standalone tree bylaw, again the only council in Tasmania to do so. In 2023, a draft Trees on Private Land bylaw was released for public comment. That draft bylaw contains several onerous restrictions for landowners to comply with under the threat of on-the-spot fines for things such as not being able to produce a copy of your permit upon request by a council officer, not providing your name and address to a council officer, and speaking back to a council officer. Following the 2024 council AGM, the CEO advised me that council was waiting for Kingborough to enter into the Tasmanian planning scheme before they would table the tree bylaw before a general meeting for final approval by councillors. We will be well into 2026 when Kingborough finally enters the statewide planning scheme. In 2026 will be 4 years that this municipality will have been without a tree bylaw. Has the sky fallen in? Has the mass clearing of native vegetation irreversibly changed the landscape of the municipality? Are we not one of the most at-risk bushfire-prone municipalities in Australia? Does council really need to be adding this additional layer of compliance and regulation on top of the work and responsibilities that landowners, and particularly rural and semi-rural landowners, have to deal with? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Biggins. Did anybody else wish to speak for or against the motion? If not, I will put the motion. It's moved by Mr. Biggins and seconded by Ms. Atkins, and the motion is that council abandon any plans to introduce the Trees on Private Land bylaw and returns the certificate to create this new bylaw back to the state. If you could raise your hands in support of the motion or otherwise, thank you. Anyone against the motion? Thank you. The motion is carried unanimously. Further motions?
Thank you. I have one more motion from the Kingborough Land Users Body. I move that council withdraw and review their biodiversity offset policy following a six-week public consultation period conducted by Council.
Thank you. Is that the...
That's the motion.
That's it. Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the motion, please? Seconded, Alison Rogers. Thank you. If you'd like to speak to the motion.
Thank you. Council has been using biodiversity offsets since 2003. Early offsets in Kingborough were largely the result of the requirements of the Forest Practices System. Until 2009, all clearing was regulated under the Forest Practices System, and Council would incorporate their offset requirements into the planning permits. In 2009, the Forest Practices Regulations were amended to explicitly exempt clearing associated with urban and peri-urban development, where this development has been authorised in a permit issued under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. In response to the changes to the Forest Practices Regulation, Council endorsed the Biodiversity Offset Policy in 2010, Policy 6.1, which was reviewed in 2016. The purpose of this policy has been to formalise Kingborough Council's approach to and use of offsets, set at the time at between $10,000 per hectare. The Kingborough Biodiversity Offset Policy 6.1 was amended in 2016 and incorporated into the Kingborough's interim planning scheme the same year. The amended policy raised offsets to within a range of $12,000 to $60,000 per hectare. In 2018, Council began the implementation of offset projects under the Kingborough Environmental Fund, which has received over $1 million in financial offsets. The biodiversity offset policy was again amended in August 2022 and incorporated into the interim planning scheme in 2023, setting the financial offsets at between $13,650 and $81,900 per hectare. In the entire 22-year period from 2003 to 2025, the offset policy has never been subject to community consultation by Kingborough Council. It was developed internally by Kingborough Council staff without legal advice, has never established a head of authority for the collection of money in lieu of actual offsets, of actual on-site or offset biodiversity offset works, is also used by Council to leverage landholders into restrictive Part 5 conservation agreements that work against the long-term property management responsibilities, and is done so in a way that non-compliance would put their development applications into question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anybody else like to speak in favour or against the motion? So please come forward. No, I'm going to put the motion. It's moved by Mr. Biggins and seconded by Ms. Rogers. And the motion is that Council withdraw and review their biodiversity offset policy following a six-week public consultation period conducted by Council. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. Any further motions? Please come forward. Thank you.
Good morning. Tamika Adkins of Oyster Cove. So my motion this morning is to address the Kingborough Council's delegation of power overreach. I call for a review of the delegated powers to ensure officers act strictly within their authority. That is my motion.
Thank you. I'll just make sure that we... That's not quite the correct wording. Could you just repeat that for
sure.
us, please?
I call for a review of delegated powers to ensure officers act strictly within their authority.
Okay. Sorry, just Call for a review. Yep, keep going. Two.
I call for a review of delegated powers.
Of delegated powers, yep.
To ensure officers act strictly within the authority, their authority.
Within their authority. Okay. Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the motion, please? Yep, seconded Kim Phillips. If you'd like to speak to the motion.
Thank you. The community has expressed concern regarding overreach by Kimbra Council, and therefore I call for this motion today. Council officers must operate within clearly defined limits of authority. Overreach risks undermining trust and placing undue strain on the community, and a review of delegated powers will help ensure accountability, transparency and proportionality in council decision making. This motion is not about confrontation, it's about accountability. Over recent years, many in our community have felt that the council officers have exercised powers in ways that go beyond their intended scope. When authority is stretched too far, it risks eroding trust, creating unnecessary burdens, and weakening the partnership between council and the people it serves. My proposal is simple. It's simply making sure that the review is done so that we can all understand that those powers that have been given by delegation are being used appropriately. Transparency and respect for community autonomy are the cornerstones of good governance. If council is confident in its processes, then a review will only strengthen its credibility. If there are gaps, then this review will help close them. A review of delegated powers is a constructive safeguard, not an obstruction. If council officers, as I said, are already acting appropriately, then it's just simply to confirm and strengthen the public confidence. If there are areas where the authority has been stretched, then a review provides an opportunity to correct course before trust is further eroded. This motion, again, is about partnership. It asks that the council work with the community to ensure decisions are transparent, proportionate and respectful of local autonomy. Supporting this motion is supporting good governance.
Thank you. Can I just ask a question just for clarification? Are you calling for an independent review or
no, just a council review?
Council review. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify that for the wording. Thank you. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak for or against the motion? Please come forward. Thank you, Mr. Booth.
I support the motion that's just being put forward. The local government priority reform program, which you guys are going to have to introduce into council by the next elections, I'm assuming, I think it was.
The legislation, yeah. There are still elements of the legislation that will come forward in March next year.
So part of the reform elements is the conducting audits as well as part of the internal.
Correct.
So this motion would also go support that process as well, wouldn't it? That's about all I really have to say, actually.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, I'll put the motion. It's moved by Ms. Adkins and seconded by Ms. Phillips, and the motion is to call for a review of delegated powers to ensure officers act strictly within their authority. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. Anyone against? Thank you. The motion is carried unanimously. Any further motions? Please come forward. No, that's all right.
Thank you. Do you want my name again?
Yes. No, we're right.
Okay,
thank you.
Spell your name correctly. Oh, yeah. It's I-E-K-A. T-A-M-I-E.
Yeah, we'll correct that. Apologies. My name gets spelt incorrectly all the time, so I know what it feels like.
That's fine. I generally let it go, but, yeah, it is not an official document. Thank
you. That's okay.
So my second motion today is that Kingborough Council prepare and publish a report detailing the number of requests for further information issued over the past 3 years, including... Let me know if you need to catch up. Over the past 3 years, including... The average time added to an application because of the results of an RFI. the proportion of applications shifted to discretionary category due to an RFI. And lastly, a comparison with other Tasmanian councils' use of RFIs. And that this report be made publicly available.
Okay, I'll just repeat the motion and then ask for a seconder. So the council prepare and publish a report detailing the number of requests for information over the past 3 years, including the average time added to an application because of the results of an RFI, the proportion of applications shifted to a discretionary application due to an RFI, and a comparison with other Tasmanian councils' use of RFIs, and that this report be made publicly available. Is that correct? Yep. Yes. Do I have a seconder for the motion, please? Seconded, yep, your name, please. Natasha Knight, thank you. Sorry, Tisha. Sorry. If you'd like to speak to the motion.
Thank you. Transparency around the use of RFIs, or Requests for Further Information, is critical to understanding whether Kingborough Council's planning processes are genuinely serving compliance needs or unintentionally slowing housing delivery. By publishing clear statistics on the frequency and impacts of RFIs, the Council can demonstrate accountability, provide evidence of efficiency, and reassure the community that housing approvals are not being hindered by unnecessary administrative duplication. This information will also allow a comparison with other Tasmanian councils, ensuring Kingborough's council's practices align with best practice planning standards. Requests for further information are meant to ensure compliance, but in Kingborough they are also issued so frequently that they add significant time and uncertainty to housing approvals. This motion simply asks for transparency. By publishing statistics on how many RFIs have been issued, the average delays create, and how practices compare with other councils, we can demonstrate whether RFIs are genuinely necessary or whether they are functioning as an administrative barrier to housing delivery. This is about accountability, efficiency, and ensuring our planning system supports, not hinders, the urgent need for more housing. And in a housing crisis, I think that's really important.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak for or against the motion? If so, please come forward. No? All right. So I will put the motion. I won't read it again. I think we're clear what it is. So it's moved by Ms. Adkins and seconded by Ms. Knight. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. Anyone against the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Do we have any further notices of motion?
Soon. Karen Groves for the Kingborough Land Use Body.
No, just your suburb just in which you live.
And
please.
Snug. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, first time.
It's okay.
My motion is that Council investigate and make recommendations on additional engagement methods than those currently employed with the rural and semi-rural communities of Kingborough on council actions that will affect them. Just wait, sorry, watching just, yep. To make sure it's on the...
If you could just say those last few words again. And semi-rural...
Communities of Kingborough on council actions that will affect them.
Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Yes, seconded Nick Booth. If you'd like to speak to your motion, please.
Thank you. Current rezonings within Kingborough, failures of communication and subsequent concern in rural and semi-rural areas has led to some doubt that Kingborough Council is putting all of the community at the heart of everything they do. Engagement approaches seem retroactive, treat community as subordinate to decision-making and present council as the prime source of knowledge. This motion requests that Kingborough Council consider the following actions in an investigation of community engagement methods. Firstly, that they reconsider the definition of communication in their communication and engagement policy, currently stated firstly as the provision of one-way information to advise the community. My understanding of effective communication is that two or more parties exchange dialogue or information, with receipt of understanding being confirmed. Without both talking and listening, acknowledging and responding, this is simply information dissemination. Secondly, that they set up a rural voice to council as an advisory on policy. This adds to the inclusivity of the Kingborough community, shows respect and addresses the problem of Kingston-centric services. When the rural community are included, they will be more active in council processes, voting, meetings, forums, and discussion will be more open and meaningful. In return, council become real people, gain more respect, have less pushback, and a safer community. When seen less as an authority dictating to community, but as supporters, enabling them, you achieve roll-on effects such as less breaches of local regulations and less youth and other crime. Thirdly, using technology and media differently. For rural communities, we need more proactive notifications, for example, on Facebook and other sources, as your own Deputy Mayor has mentioned, tagging other community organisations such as Rural Youth or Men Sheds. The few posts on the current social media page tend to be after the fact. Reaching out to the community with questions and requests for their expertise before planning or exhibition periods would be useful, and is more inclusive of young people who use online media more than print media. Councillor Midgley recently suggested offering QR codes at events. I would extend this to web-based surveys or email links for those that don't use QR codes on their phones. It captures compliments and improvement suggestions. And a little note on the local newspaper. We don't read the Kingborough Chronicle. We look for photos of people we know and then burn it in the fireplace. Maybe consider alternative news outlets, radio and television, or put more pictures of rural residents in the Kingborough Chronicle. Fourth, reach out to the community instead of asking them to connect with you. The CEO recently mentioned that council did not have permission to contact people through their rates email addresses for other purposes. Send a request via email or the next rates notice for permission to contact ratepayers for other purposes, such as policy or zoning changes, roadworks, projects, forums, meetings, or to gain information by short surveys or feedback forms, as Clarence Council do regularly. This choice could include email, mail out with rates, or website survey links, which costs nothing but time. Fifth, ensure that forums and surveys are held at representative levels in the community, ensuring everywhere in Kingborough is a great place to live. For example, the placement of the Kingborough Child and Family Centre was in Kingston. Kingston already hosts the majority of early childhood services. One would argue that in order to reach some other areas of high need, it would be placed in Margate or Snug, so it would reach people further down the channel. The Department of Education stated they were committed to extensive community engagement for that process. With over 27,000 households with children in the broader Kingston area in 2021, Kingborough's engagement for the centre comprised of 79 surveys being received. 42 from Kingston residents, 8 each from Blackmans Bay and Margate, 5 from Taroona, 2 from Snug and Kettering, and 9 from other. 26 individuals attended one community forum and 4 local meetings had nearly 80 people in attendance. Less than 0.4% of families in Kingborough had input into where this significant service would go, and feedback was not adjusted for relative town populations or need. Thank you for listening and your potential support of my motion.
Thank you. If you did want to, apologies, because we do have to follow the meeting procedures, but if you did want to forward us your notes to ensure that we have the entirety of your contribution, we'd be happy to take that. Does anybody else like to speak on the motion, please? No? Thank you. All right. I'm going to put the motion then. It's moved by Ms. Groves and seconded by Mr. Booth. And the motion is that Council investigate and make recommendations on additional engagement methods than those currently employed with the rural and semi-rural communities of Kingborough on Council actions that will affect them. If you'd like to support the motion, please raise your hands. Thank you. And anybody against the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Any further notices of motion, please come forward.
Apologies, this one's a little bit wordy, so I'll be patient.
Okay, just take it slowly so that we can get it down word for word for you. Thank you.
Okay, the motion is that Kingborough Council prepare and publish an annual report comparing, one, the resources... The resources, which include staff hours and budget, allocated to compliance activities such as rezoning administration, overlays...
And overlays.
And requests for further information. And the second part is the resources allocated directly to housing delivery projects, including infrastructure works, partnerships, and community facilities supporting new housing.
Yep.
This report should include year-on-year trends and be made publicly available to demonstrate whether Council's resource allocation is balanced toward enabling housing supply rather than disproportionately consumed by compliance processes.
I'm just going to read it back to you to make sure that we have it correct.
Yep.
The Council prepare and publish an annual report comparing, one, the resources which include staff hours and budget allocated to compliance activities such as rezoning, administration and overlays and requests for further information. Two, the resources allocated directly to housing delivery projects including infrastructure works, partnerships and community facilities supporting new housing. This report should include year-on-year trends and be made publicly available to demonstrate whether Council's resource allocation is balanced toward enabling housing supply rather than disproportionately consumed by compliance processes. Is that correct?
Yep, correct.
Thank you. Should that be, just to query the grammar, should that be disproportionately, not disproportionately?
Disproportionately.
Do we have a seconder for the motion, please? Yes. I love grammar.
Are you saying as zoning with a comma administration? Sorry. Zoning administration, what
do
you mean there?
No, rezoning administration, no comma.
No comma. Okay. Thank you. I love a bit of grammar, don't you worry about that. Are you seconding the motion? Thank you, Ms. Adkins. Lost the power of speech all of a sudden. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Yeah. Look, community needs clarity on whether Council's resources have been directed towards solving the housing shortage or tied up in administrative processes. And the Mayor brought up in her introductory presentation, that you are about being more open and engaging and wanting to have transparency, and this leads directly towards that sort of engagement with the wider community. Publishing comparative data, it's comparative data, which is good because it does allow people to see how, not just in relation to denigrating or saying, oh, we're doing better than them, but it sets a bit of a standard for use and allows people to properly understand what the data means. So it'll also allow us to assess whether compliance requirements are proportionate You know, we often get told we have to do things or we have to comply. No one fully understands why and whether it is proportionate in what we're doing. And we might be trying to dig a hole and we've got to put up fencing and all sorts of things. Why? So this will help people understand. It'll also allow us to see whether there's sufficient investment is being made in the housing delivery outcomes and whether that investment is going to the right areas. The motion is not about criticising the council or the processes. It's directly about transparency. The annual report shows resources are being directed both to compliance activities like rezoning and RFIs and to housing delivery projects. What the community needs to see is whether the balance is right. By publishing comparative data each year, council can demonstrate that compliance requirements are proportionate and that housing delivery remains a genuine priority. This is a constructive step towards accountability and building trust with our residents. By committing to publish this comparative data, council can show the community that housing delivery is not being overshadowed by compliance processes. This is a simple, transparent step that will build trust and demonstrate that Kingborough is serious about addressing the housing shortage.
Thank you. Before I call for any further speakers, could I make a small suggestion just to strengthen the motion a little bit and provide some clarity? In dot point one, you've said the resources which include staff hours and budget allocated to compliance activities such as. Could I suggest that you insert the word planning compliance activities in there to be clear that we're not talking about our other roles of compliance, as in dogs off lead and parking compliance issues and so on?
Thank you.
Just to provide some clarity.
Yep, I understand.
Otherwise, Yep. Okay. So is that acceptable to the seconder of the motion as well? Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak to the motion? Thank you, Mr. Booth.
The state government has committed to implementing a reform program ahead of the 2026 local government elections. In the local government review, the five stages of reform priorities are lifting standards of professionalism in the conduct and integrity for councils, driving high performance and transparent and accountable in the sector, improving local democracy and representation, supporting council financial sustainability, and supporting council and community-led structural reform. I think this will go a long way in supporting this as well.
Thank you. Any further contributions on the motion? Okay, I'll put the motion. I don't think I need to read it again because it is quite lengthy, so hopefully everyone can see it on the screen with the added words in the first dot point to clarify that it is planning compliance activities, not our broader compliance activities. So it is moved by Mr. Creef and seconded by Ms. Adkins. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. Anyone against the motion? Thank you very much. The motion is carried unanimously. Do we have any further notices of motion? No? Thank you all very much for putting those motions forward. The process with the motions and any questions on notice that we took today is that there will be a report that will come to Council for the next meeting, which will be our final one just prior to the Christmas break, and that will articulate when we're able to respond to all of those notices of motion. Obviously, given the proximity from now to Christmas, it won't be possible for the staff to be able to prepare responses and for councillors to consider those before Christmas, but we'll present a report that highlights when we expect to be in a position to respond to all of those so that you've got an idea of the timeframes. So that's the process moving forward. So thank you all very much for your attendance today. We very much appreciate the way that you've engaged with us today, put your motions forward, interacted respectfully with everyone here. We greatly appreciate it, and we certainly will take on board the motions that you have provided to us today and, as I indicated, report back. Can I once again thank everyone for their attendance today, to councillors and to staff. And could I also just, as we are scurrying towards the end of the year, can I take the opportunity to wish everybody a very happy and safe festive season, whatever that means to you in different ways, but I hope that you get to spend it in a way that you enjoy it the most and with the people who are important in your lives. And we look forward to ushering in the new year and welcoming 2026 with our first council meeting for next year kicking off on the 19th of January 2026, and we look forward to seeing many of you in attendance at that. So I wish you a safe and a happy holiday break. Thank you very much, and I declare the meeting closed at 10:41.